Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. A global technology firm that often has conversations with Silicon Valley. Chris, a very good evening to you. Silicon Valley in the news because of a failed bank. 16th largest, second largest, a failure, I believe, in history. But in any event, what we're looking at is Silicon Valley, not the bank. I read in the Wall Street Journal about strange goings on at Silicon Valley Bank for years that apparently nobody thought were odd, these goings on. Wine parties, mixers, concierge service. However, all those mornings that you would speak to me and afternoons in Silicon Valley, you were visiting clients or colleagues or you were looking around for what the latest development gizmos were. Sometimes you would comment on the empty parking lots during the pandemic. I thought we were talking about work from home in the pandemic. It never occurred to me that Silicon Valley was going to go through a major refreshing, let's put it that way, in which the hires during the pandemic would be the out the doors during the post-pandemic recovery. But then it also didn't occur to me, if you're, say, Meta laying off another 10,000, that must affect your business model, and that connects to your bank. Poor interviewer that I am, I never thought to ask you about the bank that pays for all these parking lots that are now emptying. Silicon Valley Bank. Is that a well-known phenomenon in Silicon Valley? Was everybody in on this game, Chris? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Silicon Valley Bank in the Valley environment was a bank known to do some of the, let's say, less conventional forms of financing that if you went to a JP Morgan Chase or Key or Wells Fargo, that they would not ever accommodate. So SVB was known for being a little bit more flexible towards the needs of tech, towards startup, towards capital, towards equity within some of those customers. That being said, the fall of Silicon Valley Bank has now created two contagions. One contagion is certainly the banking contagion that you see now globally of a crisis in confidence in banks. But two, and maybe even more impactful, you've seen hundreds of thousands of layoffs in tech in the last 12 months. The fear in the Valley is not only a financial fear, but now a sustainability fear relative to many of the businesses. This constricting capital cycle is extremely difficult for many of the early stage and mid stage tech companies. And if companies like Silicon Valley Bank are no longer around, the contagion of fear in tech is, what does the future of tech look like? How will it change? It will survive. It will thrive. But there's going to be a lot of disruption to small and mid-sized tech companies now that this ecosystem player, Silicon Valley Bank, is no longer there.
I read from a Wall Street Journal report about Silicon Valley Bank and how it did business with startups. Mo Parikh, founder of software startup Bandwango, switched his company's accounts over to SVP last year, 22, because his company wanted to get a line of credit and SVB's terms were attractive. Bandwango took out a $1.5 million line of credit in exchange for doing all of its banking with SVB and giving the bank warrants. Said Mr. Parikh, it was a really interesting arrangement. We didn't really have to put anything up. We had to ensure that we were going to continue to keep our money with them. Chris, that it begins to resemble stories that were associated with 2008 and the subprime game that was played by banks. Nothing down. Remember those days? People buying houses and mortgages that exploded in 5 years? This looks Bandwango. I wish him well, but that is not banking. That is, what is that, Chris?
But John, when you had the housing crisis, especially in California, you would have loans called liar loans or ninja loans. Ninja, no job, no income. the LIO loans being stated income loans with no verification. Silicon Valley Bank would work with startups and early stage companies to give them, let's say, a little bit more unconventional types of financing where they would back those credit lines in exchange for equity. That being said, within the venture capital and the private equity business and industry, 95, 96, 97% of the companies you bet on will fail. That's just part of the ecosystem. Their bet was that if two or three of them are successful or wildly successful, it covers that exposure and you can be very profitable. And the bank grew tremendously over the last 20 years. That being said, with the pressure that's on the markets based on the inverted yield curve on treasuries, not only Silicon Valley Bank, but a lot of other banks are now quickly in very difficult condition, not necessarily just on risky loans, but on the treasury investments they made.
So Silicon Valley saw itself as a venture capitalist bank, but it acted as a venture capitalist now and again. Isn't that what it's doing? This was where you would go to Kleiner Perkins for a first round, but instead you go to your banker and you make some promises and you get a credit line.
That's correct. They were acting in certain cases as investors and acting with maybe beyond the mandate of a more traditional bank. But that obviously would have had to have been seen by regulators. The question is why no one was minding the store at the regulatory side.
Yes, George Bailey doesn't know about this kind of banking. China, let us go to the larger economy, presuming that the banking crisis doesn't damage every generalization we make. In these last weeks, there have been various non-transparent reports out of China that we're reawakening, we're reviving. And most recently, there was the statement made that the domestic market, the consumption is reviving as well, and that Chinese manufacturing is returning to its health. There are also stories about protests. There are also stories about unemployment. You can see the important part that is exports, because you have business on the mainland. Have the exports revived in some fashion? Is the supply chain vigorous again, or are these hesitant steps that we're hearing from the report?
So, John, I would say that the supply chain in China remains pressured, but in a different way. During the pandemic, as a manufacturer, you would have to pay premiums to get components, which are in short supply or long lead times. Now the pendulum has swung completely to the other side. Costs are down. Lead times, which might have been up at 40 weeks, 50 weeks, and are typically at 8 to 10, are now down at 4 to 6 for many types of manufacturing in the electronics industry. So what you're seeing is desperation across many sectors where suppliers are lowering prices, suppliers are giving better, faster build times because the business is obviously extremely slow, and there's an air of worry in those discussions from many of the contract manufacturers of being able to stay with a full enough order book to keep the businesses going because things have slowed down so greatly.
So the statements out of Beijing that things are reviving are aspirational. And the 5% number that they're using to tell all the provinces how to report accordingly in your product book, in your order book, that 5% is just an arbitrary number, and there's no reason to believe they can reach it at this point. Is that correct?
I think it is mathematically impossible to reach 5% growth in that Chinese market when you have container shipments off 30 to 35%. There's no possible way because that is such an export-driven economy. And the most important thing for the government there is to project strength. If they're saying anything less than 5%, the populace, which is already nervous and is already dealing with banking problems such as Evergrande and missed payments from many employers and many government areas, just gets more riled up.
Final minute, Chris. You have often noted in this report how commercial properties are under pressure because of the work from home and the pandemic. There was a note from a comment in the Financial Times I sent you in these hours, chiefly about Credit Suisse, but really the largest story worldwide. The writer asks, hasn't nobody been watching what 12 months of rate rises have done to commercial property yields? Investors and banks are underwater to the tune of 45% on many capital values in the office and logistics sector. Does that describe what you've been seeing, Chris, that those commercial buildings in our cities across America and apparently across Europe as well are underwater and the banking crisis is coming their way? We have 30 seconds.
Absolutely. As we've been speaking about the empty parking lots in Silicon Valley for the last several years through the pandemic, as we've been speaking about the empty hotel rooms in New York during the pandemic, there is a pending crisis in commercial real estate where the underutilization or the restructuring of those properties, the debt on them, you've seen the last several weeks, large tranches of payments from some of the large real estate investment trusts go unpaid. We're at the tip of the iceberg of a commercial real estate crash as well.
Chris Weigel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm, watching the parking lots in Silicon Valley. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.